Our lesson this morning is taken from Luke chapter 1, and we start reading at verse 26. The heading there is "The Birth of Jesus Foretold." In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished."
Thanks, Hermanus. My screen time is down. I watched less, used the iPad less this week. Just got the notification. I find Christmas fascinating. I don't know about you guys, but it boggles my mind that you walk into a shopping mall or even a place like Checkers and you hear Christmas carols being played in the background. It's absolutely amazing. Now, I know that consumerism has meant that Christmas now starts in September and it's all about the money and the stuff. But you walk into a shop and you will hear Charles Wesley's hymn, "Hark the Herald Angels." So you walk in there, and granted it's Boney M who sings it, so that's sort of like, but they sing these words: "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, incarnate deity," sung in a shop with everybody just walking around there. And it fascinates me because you've got this, all of us, the whole of Bloemfontein, I think humanity at this point in time, we captivated by Christmas, by something about it. A couple of years ago, Marianne wanted Pepsi Max on Christmas Day. And I had to look for a shop because everything was sold out. I could find one Pakistani shop, and that was open. It was around here, the corner towards the golf course. I found that one open. But the rest were closed. And I thought to myself, how incongruent is this? These guys are not even Christians, but they've closed their shop for Christmas, on Christmas Day. You know, it's something that just everybody is drawn to it, and it's a time that is the best symbolized, I think, by the giving of a gift, because it starts with God giving us the gift of Jesus, God stepping into our world. Now, for us as believers, we come to church this time of year, and every year we hear about the meaning of Christmas, and it's fantastic. It is so, so rich, so powerful, so something that we need to be reminded of, that God actually would step into our world. That it's actually quite weird, but it's something that very few other religions actually can embrace. The fact that God would make himself human, become vulnerable, weak, able to suffer and be killed at the hands of his own creation. Most religions in the world say, sorry, that can't happen. It's just not possible. God can't operate that way. Religions like Islam and Judaism says, yes, God has got the ability to do that, but he will never do it. And yet here we come and we celebrate this time, this gift of God. We stepped into our world, became like one of us, and it's one of the things that we remind ourselves of during this time of year is the fact that even when life gets tough and we don't understand, the one thing you can't say is that God does not care. You might not understand, you might not understand what's happening and why it's happening, all those other things. But you can't say, because of Christmas, you can't say that God doesn't care. Because we couldn't reach heaven, so heaven reached down. He came and he stepped into our world. So Christmas for us is about you. This every year we come and we celebrate this. It's him showing that he cares, that he loves so much that he gave his son. Yeah. But it struck me during the week that if we every Christmas stop and we think about the gift of God, I don't know about you, but nobody's actually taught me how to unwrap the gift. In a sense, how do you make it become real in your life? God offers this gift, which is amazing. And we've got the theory, we've got this, wow, he cares, but then you walk out those doors, some of you out those doors, and life happens. And then it's like, but how does this become real in my life? So I thought it wise today to learn from a short, young Jewish girl. I don't know whether Mary was short, but in my mind, or in my children's Bible, she was short. So that's why I go with short. But we're going to learn from her example, because no matter what you want to say about that girl, she is one of the Bible's heroes of faith. She got right that most of us battle with. We hit it every now and again like a drunk driver. But she got it right in a crucial tipping point moment for humanity. And what she got right was to think, to be honest about her doubts. She got it right to have community and to surrender. So the angel comes to her and he greets her literally in the Greek. He says, grace to you, O highly graced one. That's what he said to her. And immediately the NIV translated it as, she wondered about what he had said. But the Greek says she was confused. It's like when your wife tries to explain something to you and you know she's communicating, but just got no idea what she's saying. You know, all the men can associate with that feeling. But it's this is what happened. She was confused. But then she considered what he had said. Now the word there is, let me impress you with my Greek, dia logizomai. Herman would know what that means. I had to look it up. But it basically, our word dialogue or logic is part of the root. But it basically means that the angel greets her and she goes like, what the hell does this mean? And then she thinks through what was said. She considered it. She reasoned it out. She sort of looked at it and the word and the way that it was written says that she completely, she actually took the time to consider what was being said to her. She really thought through it. And that's where this whole thing of unwrapping God's gift to us, it starts. It starts with something as simple as thinking. Can you believe it? Thinking. Now, When it comes to thinking, normally in the Christian or in the church, we've got two very big ditches. On the one side, this is more in our tradition, the Reformed tradition, where we've got theologians and clever academics and all those people. We tend to make thinking absolute. We want to reason out absolutely everything, and it must follow logical steps. You know, it must be, you know, if you say this, then this must follow. And unfortunately, that's just not possible. What God does is way above our pay grade. Even for mathematicians, you can try and figure out God's stuff, but it doesn't work that way. You know, it's His ways are way above our ways. And the case in point, how does a girl, a virgin girl, become pregnant from the Holy Spirit? How do you explain that logically? It's like just not possible. But that's the one ditch where people make thinking and logic absolute and try and force everything into that paradigm. The other ditch is where you find more in the charismatic streams, where they took thinking and drop-kicked it. It's like, pow, through the poles. Just, no, we don't need to think. Everything is in the Spirit. We had it years ago in Stellenbosch. There was one guy who you know, in the church that we were at that stage, who wanted to divorce his wife because the Spirit led him to divorce his wife. And you go like, komm wir? But for reals, you know, everything is in the Spirit. They don't think about stuff, and it happens. It's mystical. We don't have to think. You don't have to even use the space between your ears. And that's another ditch, because the one ditch restricts God's influence and His work in your life, because you cannot figure out what He's busy doing. And on the other side, it becomes unaccountable. Whatever is in the Spirit just goes. Because who are you to question what God has spoken to me? You've got these two ditches. But you see Mary walking straight through these two ditches by first of all thinking and reasoning completely as, what does this mean? But then honestly acknowledging her doubts. Saying, how can this be? I'm a virgin. How can this be? She was honest about her doubts. Now, we tend to, I can't speak for we. Let me speak for the royal we, me. I get scared nowadays as I get older when people tell me, but this is what God is busy doing. There's something in me that just becomes more and more hesitant when I hear that. When somebody stands up with confidence and he says, this is what God is doing, this is the will of God, then I go like, I just want to take a couple of steps back, because there is no way that we can figure out what God is busy doing. You might get a vague glimpse, but to say, I know what God is doing, no. It's a little way above our pay grade. And then I was in a debate not too long ago with somebody about this. And he said to me, he quoted to me from 1 Corinthians. He said to me, yeah, but we've got the mind of Christ. And in that moment I knew this guy can't read Greek, because the we there, it's plural. It's not for the individual. What God is busy doing is so big, so massive, that not even us in this room, those joining online, not even the Presbyterian denomination is big enough to carry that revelation. We see parts, bits, pieces here and there, but it's too much for us. And if what God does in our lives, if he, what he's busy with you and me, doesn't raise questions or go beyond what we feel comfortable with, we go like, wow, how can this be? Then in all likelihood, we're busy with our own stuff. We're not busy with his stuff. His stuff, when he starts operating, when God offers us that gift, when he wants to work in our lives, it's like, time out, Lord. Whoa. I think you should choose somebody else, because there's no way this is going to happen. But Mary, young little girl, were honest about her doubts. Now, then she surrendered, but I'm going to leave surrender to lost. Because what in the timeline, she first surrendered and then went to Elizabeth. But it's beautiful what happened at Elizabeth, at her place. She walks into the house. Elizabeth hears her greeting. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit comes upon Elizabeth and the penny drops for her. She realizes when John kicks her in the womb, when he kicks her, she realizes somewhere in there, she gets the revelation that the baby that Mary is carrying, that she's not even showing yet, that baby is the Messiah. And she speaks to Mary, says, how can it be, how blessed can I be that God would bring to me the mother of my Savior, the Messiah? She gets that revelation, and it's in that revelation that something changes for Mary. We didn't have the time to read it, but they call it the Magnificat. I'm not sure why. It sounds like a weird name for a cat. But anyway, she breaks into the song afterwards where she says, my soul rejoices in the Lord. But the revelation and the joy, that fullness of life, only came when there was community. It was when those two women connected that what God had presented to Mary, what he had given to her, sort of made sense. And it had an effect that was life-transforming for her. Now, I don't know. I haven't said anything controversial yet today. No. Anything offensive? Can I go for it? Oh, yeah. Thank you. I see Ivan go like, yeah, we need something offensive. Here's the problem. Community is more than slipping into church and slipping out of church. And I know. But it's just the fact. Community is about the consistent, active engagement with others. Marianne one day said something that blew my mind. We were just sitting outside and we were chatting, and she said, you know what, life doesn't happen in rows. It happens in circles. And when she said it, it just, you know, in Afrikaans there's a saying, everything in my mind just blew out of, because it's in shared life, it's in community where we look one another in the face. That's where life happens. It doesn't happen if you slip in and slip out. This is nice. I'm glad you are here. Like I said, it would have sucked just to speak to the camera. But community and unwrapping God's gift takes more than just slipping into church and slipping out. It requires community. So you can think, you can systematically, thoroughly reason through, think through stuff. You can be honest about your doubts, and you can have community. But the clincher, and this is the amazing thing for me about Mary, was the surrender. I'm the Lord's servant. Be it unto me according to your will. When she said those words, she said yes to possible divorce, definite shame, definite rejection by her family, and definite poverty for the rest of her life. That's what she said yes to. But she surrendered. She said, I am the Lord's servant. Be it unto me according to what he said, according to his will. Her surrender 2,000 years ago made salvation possible for us, because she was the one through whom Jesus came into our world. But the moment you start talking about surrender, that's where people clutch out. That's where they jump ship. It's There, people begin to push back and they say, no, Jacques. You don't understand my responsibilities. You don't understand the constraints I have on my time. You don't understand all of these things that I've got going on in my life. Or they kick back and they say, no, but I don't think that is what God meant. That type of response towards surrender is, and towards what God calls us to do, and his gift to us in Jesus, our response to him, is yours on your own to figure out. Nobody can force you. Anyway, shame. People who think they can force you into it, they're delusional. They're barking up the wrong tree. It's your choice. But like I said, we, generations later, are reaping the benefit and the fruit of one young Jewish girl decided, I will surrender. The one who said, I will lay myself down for you. I'll give to you what I've got. Think about it this way. So God steps into our world. He lays down majesty. He becomes fragile. He becomes like us. That's what he chooses to do. He chooses to suffer. He chooses to die for what? So that he could have you and me. Okay? That's the gift that he gave. He gave himself. Question you and I have to answer is, what do we give him in return? What do we give him? Because that is the actual call of Christmas, but it's also the major way in which you unwrap God's gift to you. That's how his work becomes real in your life. It's not by watching TV show or sitting here and listening to my amazing sermons or coming to a Bible study. That helps. But it's the part of I surrender. I give myself. I'm the Lord's servant. Be it unto me according to your word. That is where things change gears. That is, once you've made that choice, where the joy, the revelation, the life that you've been longing for, that's where it comes. But it does not come before the time. Yes, you can think through it, and yes, you can be part of community, and yes, you can express your doubts, but the clincher is the surrender, like Mary did. Over the years, I've come to realize that very, very little of the Christian life happens in the spectacular, you know, the miraculous, the big shiny stuff that newspaper reporters would have written about. Or ex-newspaper. I'm not sure what God would do to have it written in the Landbouw Weekblad, but you never know. That's where Vera works now, the Landbouw Weekblad. But you never know. There can be an article that slips in there. But the point being, people like the idea of the flashy. They like the idea of the big. And they think that if God does that, then, you know, this is how you unwrap it. That's the big gift. It's just not where the Christian life is lived. The Christian life is lived in this fluctuating process where God speaks something to you and you try and figure it out. You try and connect the dots. It's like the parable of the sower. Jesus said the ground that actually gave the biggest harvest was where they received the word and they understood it. They connected the dots. It's about, Lord, I've got no idea what's going on here, but trying to figure it out, being honest about your doubts, connecting in community. But even if you don't understand, to get to the point where you say, I surrender. In all the years that I've been a believer and being in ministry, there's one thing that's been constant. I've not had one person who came to the point of surrender that not afterwards said to me, once I surrendered, I discovered the life, the joy, the fullness. everything that I desired before the time only came after the surrender. So that's how you unwrap God's gift to you. You do it by thinking, connecting the dots, by actually thinking about Christmas, by actually thinking about what you read in the scriptures, by actually, you know, thinking about, I know some of you are asleep now, but once you wake up and you're going to listen to the live stream recording again to actually think about what I said, now what I tried to share, it's about wrestling with it, trying to connect the dots, but then also being honest about it. Yes, being part of community. But then lastly, to say, Lord, this season is about giving gifts. Here's my surrender as my gift to you. Use what I've got, who I am, to your glory. It's then that songs like Joy to the World or Hark the Herald Angels Sing drops from something that is here to something that is here. And the kingdom and God's gift becomes a reality. Does that make sense? So, go and have a Merry Christmas. Unwrap gifts, as many as you can, but then also give yourself as one. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you're a good God. And it's like we sung just now, we will never, ever, ever have an idea of what it cost for you to step into our world. And Lord, as we sing that chorus and we say, and here I am to worship, to say that you're my God. Lord, it's easy to sing, but it's difficult to give ourselves, to surrender ourselves, to say, Lord, I have got no idea what's going on, but here I am. Lord, and you've been busy with all of us in different places. We know that you love us. We know that you care. Otherwise, you wouldn't have stepped into our world. But Father, where we've got that fear, that apprehension about surrendering to you, my prayer is that you will, through the power of your Holy Spirit, will enable us to be like a Mary, who will be able to say, even though I don't understand, be it unto me according to your word. Father, let us help us to discover the life, the joy, the revelation, the fullness of what you've got for us after that point of surrender. But Lord, do not let us shy away from surrendering and giving ourselves to you. Let us be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to you. Holy Spirit, we would love to make those choices and we would love to think that we can do this out of ourselves. But experience has taught us we don't have it in us. So please come and form, shape this in us. And let us be gifts to our Father. Let us give ourselves to Him. We trust you for that. We trust you for that, not in our own lives, but in the lives of everybody who's joining us online. And Lord, as we go into this time, let every gift that we see remind us of your gift and remind us how to unwrap your reality into our lives. We trust you, we love you, and we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.